This week's Crossman Conversation is brought to you by Meeks Capital, Frontier Partners, First Horizon Bank, and Crossman Career Builders.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Mike, I just before we get started, I got to tell you a quick story.
Okay.
This is a real quick story. I just got to tell you this. So, you know, I love HBCUs. I don't know if you know that about me.
I do know that about
you. It's a big thing to me.
Talk about that at the end of every show.
Every show. I'm a big fan. And, you know, one of the things I'm a big fan of is Florida A&M, and they have a law school in Orlando.
And you've talked a lot about it.
It's a big thing. And so they got this new dean in. They got a new dean in during COVID. And at the same time, it's been kind of disconnected, you know, to the community. And that kind of stuff makes me crazy. Gets my Irish coming out a little bit. I get a little crazy with that.
Okay.
A little bit. So one of the things I did to kind of help deal with that is I hosted 50, can you imagine, 50 lunches with the dean of the Family College of Law and community leaders, University Club, downtown Orlando, to help build those relationships. And so, I mean, I'm saying every single week for 1 year, 50 lunches.
That's amazing.
Listen, you have 50 lunches with somebody, you get close.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the dean of the Family College of Law, Dean Keller, is our guest today. My date of 50 lunches. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for being here.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
So we had a lot of fun at those lunches.
By the way, those lunches were great.
You know what's funny, Mike? Every single one of those lunches, I ordered the same thing. I would get like a salad with salmon. And the dean, who is, you know, I don't mean to be mean, but she's like 4'2" and weighs 55 pounds. I'm not that far off. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Man.
That's mean. But she would order a different lunch every time. And she would order like the pizza or the steak on top of a...
I really enjoy food.
So we had a lot of great meals together with a lot of great leaders, did we not?
Absolutely. We met some fantastic people, some of whom you've had on the show, I think.
Yeah, sure have. And it's been impactful and meaningful. And those were a lot of good times.
Absolutely.
So thank you for doing those. Well, I want to first, Dean, I want to talk a little bit about you. And then I want to talk about the College of Law and all the important work you do. So first off, you were born in Guyana.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes, Georgetown, Guyana.
That's somewhere like near Australia or something?
South America.
Okay, that's
right. The only English-speaking country in South America.
Well, there you go. That's why you speak English so well.
It is.
I don't know. You're ridiculous. So you're from there and then moved to the Bronx?
Correct.
I hear they have a great zoo.
They do.
Yeah.
And a baseball team you might have heard of.
I was just watching a Bronx Tale the other night, and I was thinking about you, and there's a few baseball references in that movie as well. So you raised there, and I have to slow down to say this. You went to a all-girls Catholic school. I used to say it was an all-Catholic, all-girls school, and you corrected me like, John, not exactly how that works.
That's not how it works. Yes. Definitely folks there who were not Catholic.
There you go. So you had all that. That's a really unique, I mean, I just rattled off three pretty interesting facts, right? So this background you've had. And then after all that, you went to a little place called Yale, Yale University. Mike, come on. I can't even spell Yale. I know there's an E in there, I think, somewhere.
But, yeah, there is at the end.
Yeah, but she went to Yale. And while you were at Yale, Ron DeSantis was there at the same time, you know? And you guys were study buddies. Is that correct? No, you're not.
We won't defame the governor.
No. He wasn't always like, hey, I need help with my homework. Deidre, you know, like that wasn't a thing. Well, the reason why I say that is like, here's something. And you're so nice and humble, but... when I think about it, like we have a governor, like it's governor of a state, and then we have the dean of this prominent law school. You both went to the same university at the same time. That's pretty amazing.
We did. It is.
Yeah.
I think I'm 2 years older than him, but
really?
I think so.
Well, I mean, do you reflect on that? I mean, you're very humble, and you know, I've talked about this before, but do you reflect on that you just were at a university at a time and there was a lot of prominent people have come out of that? I mean, how does that kind of feel?
I do reflect on it. And, you know, I think about the great education that I got there that really prepared me for what I've done with my career since. So, and I'm grateful that there are lots of folks who had similar preparation serving in important roles.
I got to imagine that helps you. I mean, You know, I mean, at some point, if you and the governor were in the same room, which that could happen because you're both significant leaders in the state, there's that helps a little bit, maybe credibility and connecting. Does it intimidate some people? Does some people like, oh boy, and they get a little scared? Is that a thing?
Oh, yes.
Really?
It intimidates.
So that can throw up some people, I guess.
It does. It also confuses people. Whenever I say I went to Yale, very often I get the reaction, Yale? And I'm like, yeah, there's only the one. There's just the one.
That's funny. Yale. That's funny.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, my dad went to Harvard.
I don't
mention that often. It's not sort of a big deal.
It was Harvard, right?
It was Harvard, yeah. I get it, how some people might have some things with it. I love and respect you so much, and I respect academia so much. I just think that's a super cool thing. And it does well for you, and it does well for the work that you do, I imagine.
It does.
It's good stuff. So then after that, then you go to Emory Law School. And I want to make sure I get this right. When you walked across the stage graduating, did you have four of your kids?
Four, yes.
Four, but you have six kids?
I do have
six.
Right,
so
children.
You had four of your six kids walk across the stage with you.
Correct.
What was that like?
It was great. It was really one of the proudest moments of my life, right, to accomplish something that, you know, 1% of the population graduates from law school. 1%. Mm-hmm. So to accomplish something like that and have my children there to see it was really phenomenal.
Well, and six kids.
Yes.
I mean, so like, yeah. So I mean, like, can you talk a minute about, Ivy League educated, six kids, mom, dean, balancing all that? It's a lot.
Sure. Absolutely. So in fairness, I must report that four of those six children are technically adults and mostly independent.
Sure.
And I'm grateful for that. But yeah, it is. I always tell people having kids in law school really kept me grounded. Mm-hmm. It's really easy in law school to get caught up in the competition, in the rankings, in the, you know, where do I fall in the class, etc. And none of that really rang up for me because at the end of the day, I was there to make sure that I could, you know, put food on the table for my children. So I had a very grounded focus in my family.
Gotcha. And one of the things that's interesting about you is that you worked at a law firm, correct? And,
I did.
And you did you do like paralegal work? Is that what you did?
I did. I was a secretary and then a paralegal all before I went to law school.
So you're a secretary at a law firm, paralegal at a law firm, then you're a lawyer, and then you were like a professor, and then now you're a dean.
Correct.
Kind of amazing. And so you really, and then again, like secretary, that's kind of like frontline stuff, and then Ivy League educated. So what I say about all that is like you have a really broad span of empathy.
Absolutely.
Like, so if somebody's a student, that might be intimidated by you because, oh, she went to Yale, but you also were in another country. You know what that's like. And we kind of quickly were sort of talking about the Bronx, but, you know, that's a lot of blue collar kind of
right.
environment.
So yes.
You understand that you can connect to.
Yes, I definitely grew up working class.
Working class. Yeah. Like, so a working mom that is, you know, maybe, you know, life happens, right? You and I both know that life happens. And sometimes a young woman might be thinking, oh, I want to go to law school. And then, you know, whatever, has a kid and maybe they're working as a waitress, but they still have that deep inside them thinking, oh my gosh, I'd just love to go to law school. And they meet you and think, oh, well, she went to Yale. But what you would say is, it's like, hey, you could still do it.
Absolutely.
You could still
Absolutely.
Go.
And in fact, the college serves students who have had children, who have had other careers, et cetera, and are, you know, have always had a passion for the law, and they come to the law school and graduate and become lawyers. And so we're thrilled to be able to serve that population.
Well, you know, it's funny is because when I think about it, Mike, you know, I talk to people, I always say, you know, FAMU College of Law is the most diverse law school in America, mm-hmm. right?
It
and
is.
So people hear that, and sometimes they think black, like it's all black, you know, like that's what it is. And it's not. And when it say diverse, it's like 50% black, it's like 25% white, and it's 25% Hispanic. But here's the other thing.
Approximately.
She always gets me on that. I'm a sales guy. I'm like, yeah.
Right. You round things
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it's fine. Right. It's good. But, you know, there are kids there that are crazy about Trump. There's people in there that I was there that feel the burn, or Bernie Sanders people.
Absolutely.
There's you have students that are like 21, and then you have students that are.
We have a student this year that is 66.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? So when it's diverse, it's not diverse like it's one minority group. It's all groups, socioeconomic, age, background.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
We really pride ourselves on the college reflecting the diversity of the community.
Right, right. And I think that's really cool. I mean, look, there's a lot of people that, you know, go to undergrad and they go right to law school and they graduate and they fit in that kind of normal, where's my ranking, blah, blah, blah. And they're 24 years old and they're an attorney and that's awesome, right?
Right.
But for other people, there's a different life that they are leading and doing and things like that. So it's not in my head. I'm like, gosh, you know, like BAMU College of Law, they're competing with UF and FSU. I mean, in some ways they are, but in reality it's not, because it's a different program. Correct?
Absolutely. Yes. Our program is really designed, and if you go and look at the legislation that brought the program back into existence, you'll see that our legislative mandate is to help to diversify the profession. And we take that mandate really seriously. So you see that reflected in our student body.
You guys graduate more Black lawyers every semester than all the other state law schools combined.
Every year.
Every year.
Yes.
That is amazing. That's a big deal. I mean, yes. So... you know, I talked about diverse and the broadness of that. There's also a very specific thing that's getting addressed. And if we want to address systemic issues, having lawyers that are from the Black community, that's important.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes. And, you know, there are 6 HBCU law schools in this country, 6 out of 200 ABA approved law schools. And they graduate something like 20% of the Black lawyers in the country. Every year, those 6 schools. So 3% of schools are graduating, 20% of the Black lawyers. So if you think that diversifying the profession matters, HBCU law schools are where it's at.
That's very, very cool. And then I've heard the stat, it's like 80% of Black judges went to an HBCU at some point during their education. Is that correct?
That is a true statistic. Yes, sir.
That is awesome. Well, Dean Keller, I want to take a break, and then I want to come back, and then I want to do a deep dive into the BAMU College of Law. And I want people to know a little bit more about it and how they can be helpful and be a resource to you in the community.
Sounds good.
All right, cool. All right, we'll take a quick break.
It's said that it's not how much money you make, it's how much you keep and use to plan for your future. Nathan Meeks, principal at Meeks Capital, combines leading investment techniques with modern financial planning software to be the resource you turn to for clear, objective, and sound financial advice. For a no-obligation consultation, call Nathan at 407-494-5439 or visit meekscapital.com.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Are you willing to serve communities in crisis around the world? To people who are impoverished, oppressed, and persecuted? Frontier Partners International offers mission opportunities in areas least served to meet the needs of the helpless, the hapless, and hopeless. To learn how you can be a partner of this frontline ministry with your time, talent, or treasure, visit frontier-partners.org. That's frontier-partners.org.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
And we're back. This is John Crossman with the Crossman Conversation with our very special guest, Deidre Keller. Dean Deidre Keller. And I don't call her by her first name, Mike. You just said that in the break. I don't call her. She's a dean.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. I just want to make sure that people don't think her first name is Dean.
Well, that's true. They might, you know. So we have this thing because she's asked me to call her by her first name, but I don't do that because she's a dean and I always try to, you know.
You are a respectful guy.
I try to be. It's like we have the judges on this show.
It's
I try to be very, very respectful.
So I'm the same way with judges, by the way. Right? I will not call them by their first names.
You know, it's Judge Emerson Thompson.
I do.
And I saw him one time like casually, and I was like, "Oh, hello, Judge Thompson." And he said, "John, you can call me Emerson." I said, "Well, thank you, Judge Thompson." I will keep that under advisement, Judge Thompson. Like, that's never not going to be a thing. And that, of course, you know that. That's how I feel with you. So I want to talk to you about the College of Law and its importance. And I'm going to tell this story, and I probably, if I'm a little bit off,
just, I'll correct you. I'm used to it.
Yeah, you're used to it. We go good that way. So the background is that in the state of Florida, the first grouping of law schools, you had the Stetson Law School, which was private, the UF Law School, which was the sort of all white, all male law school, and then you had the FAMU College of Law. And one side note, you taught me this. You taught me a lot of things. One of the things you taught me was when black law schools first came on the scene, they also de facto became the law school of white women. Is that correct?
True story.
That's true, right?
Yes. Howard University was the first HBCU law school, and its very first class included white women because at that time white women could not attend other law schools. They were excluded just like black folks were.
And so isn't that funny? It's like sometimes people, when you think about like the UF College of Law, like it was the all white, all male school. Like you couldn't be a woman, couldn't be, you know, non-white. And at the FAMU College of Law, it's never been like the black law school, like you can't be something else. Of course you can, right? Of course you can. I mean, I say this, I didn't even know somebody that's a grad or associate of school that just ran for office as a Republican. I mean, you have
Absolutely.
All that. We go back to that diversity. So you have all these three law schools. Then separate but equal is deemed illegal. And so at that time, a person who was not a good human went and took the FAMU College of Law from FAMU and then gave it to FSU. And that was
Correct.
The birth of the Florida State University College of Law. They removed it. They actually went over to the FAMU College of Law, took their books from them. Do you think I'm making this up?
This is a true story.
This is absolutely true story, right? So that happened. And so then you have this period of time where there is no black College of Law. And of course, we just, as we stated earlier, the numbers and how important that is. And so some very good people worked really hard to bring the law school back. And you might think, well, who were these good people? I'll tell you, two of them. One was President Humphreys, who
Correct.
Passed away almost exactly a year ago.
Just about.
And you might know that his son-in-law, Brian Watson, works for Crossmark Services in real estate. So with
I did know that.
Yeah, good connection there. So shout out to Brian, who's a great guy. And then Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush was the other one. And, you know, when we had all the issues with Confederate flags and Confederate statues in the South, you know, a couple of years ago, people didn't miss this, but we didn't have that problem in Florida, although we were very clearly Southern state, because Jeb Bush took care of all that way back in the day. He took all that stuff down. So he worked hard to bring it back. And so we got back. But when the College of Law came back, it couldn't be in Tallahassee because state laws go too. And so that's why the FAMU College of Law is in downtown Orlando. That's the history on it.
That's right.
And now 20 years old, not 20 years 20 back.
20 years old this year.
Yeah.
Yes. So the reopened College of Law is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. It opened its doors in 2002. And so this is our 20th anniversary. It's really exciting.
That's awesome. And have you had a lot of cool celebratory kind of stuff this year with that?
We have. We planned 20th anniversary celebration events.
Like
which, as you might imagine, has been a handful.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing on the agenda is we are actually going to be in Tallahassee September 9th to celebrate the original college and put up a plaque honoring the graduates of the original college, 57
oh, that's awesome.
Graduates. Yeah.
That's really cool. I know that one of them is still alive
yes.
and has been involved in the board. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. Senator Arthenia Joyner, who served in the Florida Senate for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And is a graduate of the original FAMU College of Law.
That is so awesome. So the College of Law today, you know, some people would say, well, you know, the bar graduation rates, then, and that's so good, right? It's not so good. Or You got some work to do. And then there's some people. I had one guy, I think I told you a story that I asked him to help out. He's a lawyer in Orlando. He could help and support the college. And he said, well, you know, it's not that good. Once you fix it, I'll help you. And I'm like, that. Kind of missing the point, I think. So you're really trying to have this balance of excellence, right?
Absolutely.
Many young, great, brilliant minds, some of them who are black, some Hispanic, white, and you're cultivating that. And then you also have the old school kind of like diamond in the rough that we're trying to give some people a chance that maybe didn't get
a chance.
So
wouldn't
you're
have that opportunity
talk
otherwise.
About that managing the two, the balance of that.
Sure. So on the excellence front, I have to take this opportunity to celebrate one milestone, which the College of Law currently has. This is the reopened College of Law, 11 sitting judges.
Wow.
Right now.
Wow.
So excellence isn't just something we aspire to. It's something we have achieved and aspire to continue.
That's
right?
A big deal.
It
11
is a big deal.
sitting judges. That is amazing.
Yes. And for a 20-year-old law school, that's pretty good. So we're excited about that and about them. On the diamond in the rough question, yeah, we take students who may not get into other law schools and we try to meet them where they are and make sure that they can succeed on the bar and in the profession. And so that means we have to be really intentional about making sure those students have, you know, student to faculty ratios that support success. They have wraparound services that support their success. And that means we have to do a little more in some ways than some other law schools. But we try to make it so that we can provide all of the things a student needs to get from where they are in their academics to success on the bar and in the profession.
I like that. You know, Dean, one of the things I like to say a lot is that we seem to live in a culture that believes I tweet, therefore I am. You know, if I go out there and I tweet the right thing, whatever that is, if it's Black Lives Matter or Make America Great Again, like that's me and that has currency. And of course, I don't think that has currency. I think to like really make change, you know, we've got to make investment, right?
Absolutely.
We've got to make investment.
Yes.
And one of the things.
Of time and treasure.
Right. We got to do it. And so. Sometimes people might think, and I'm going to pick one topic and pick another topic. Like somebody might think, I believe in constitutional law. I think that people need to get back to constitutional law. And I had an attorney say this to me one time. And so I said to him, well, you know, if you really believe that, why don't you endow a scholarship at the Fannie Mae College of Law and volunteer to guest lecture and as a practicing attorney, do that. And then you could influence it. Like somebody might say, gosh darn liberal schools and you're liberal, you know, you're doing all this crazy liberal stuff. And my response says, well, I've not personally experienced that, but if you believe that, you know, invest and it is because could a lawyer do that? Is that what I'm
Absolutely.
Trying to say?
Absolutely.
You would take that lawyer on.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I will say, you know, we are definitely not a liberal school.
Right.
As you noted at the beginning, we serve a population that's diverse, definitely diverse politically. And we absolutely would take that. You know, the importance of dialogue across differences, whether they're political differences or racial differences, class differences, I think that is central to what we do at the College of Law.
So what about if like, hey, I'm an attorney and I don't have a lot of extra cash. I got a lot going on. I just want to mentor some kids. They can mentor, right?
Absolutely. The college has a mentorship program that pairs students to practicing attorneys. Actually, this is one of the silver linings of COVID. We started the program during COVID, and because of that, it has been largely virtual. And so we've been able to pair students with attorneys across the country. But it's, of course, there's a special aspect to having a local attorney mentor students because then they can meet in person and develop a kind of relationship that's difficult to develop online.
I met with a very prominent attorney a couple of years ago, and I asked him about helping out FAMU. And he said to me, because I only help UF and FSU. And I said, so you'll drive 2 hours and 4 hours? You won't go two blocks? Nope. And I just thought, you know, like, how is this helping, right? Like,
right.
We need more locals to invest in. And I was actually speaking about ESG on a panel the other day, and I actually talked about you in the College of Law at length, because what I said is that if you're wondering, like, you look at society issues and how can you make an impact, right? To me, it's like impact locally.
Absolutely.
And invest locally. And so one thing you might do is ask your law firm. If you use a law firm, almost all of us have a law firm, so just ask them, like, are you connected to the Fannie College of Law and are you volunteering investing? And one last thing with that, because we're going to wrap just a minute, but if a small company out there in Central Florida was like, I'm trying to get better at diversity, equity, inclusion, and figuring that out, I always tell them, you don't have to create a committee. Just call the dean.
Right.
But you can help people with that, correct?
Absolutely. Yes. And, you know, I have a whole faculty at my disposal that have expertise in various aspects of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so, yes, we absolutely can be a resource and would love to be a resource to the community that way.
That's awesome. Dean, do you have any final thoughts on like what you would want business leaders, community leaders in Central Florida to think about when they think about the Fannie Mae College of Law?
Absolutely. I'd like folks to think about us as Central Florida's public law school. We are here as a resource to the community, and we would love to be in partnership with you.
Gotcha. Any other closing advice or thoughts that we need to be thinking about?
Just thank you, John, so much for the invitation. This has been a great conversation.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for having being on the show and being with us. I want to tell people that I encourage you to make some time, do some research, and find a way to be supportive of the Family College of Law. I'm so grateful for all the things that you do and the friendship and the partnership you have with the community. So this has been the Crossman Conversation with our special guest, Dean Keller from the Family College of Law. This is John Crossman. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.